Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Happy Whore Time Podcast. I'm Tim Murdoch. And-
Wow, I wasn't ready for that. And I'm Matt Emmert, and whoa, that's a long Murdoch.
That's what she said.
Really? That's what she said?
Well, all right. Since I'm
I don't
a
think
boy,
any she has said that.
True story.
That is true. Are you a golden gay, Tim?
Do of know course. What?
I am too, actually. Really? And I think I actually may have platinum status, if that's a thing, because I was a C-section.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Like, what is a C-section? Oh, Tim, well, we just had another July 4th. How was your Independence Day?
Very independent.
Were you Miss Independent?
Miss Independent. Is that Kelly Clarkson?
It is. And that luckily you sang it off key, so yeah. It doesn't matter.
I know that they're like, the one day they're going
to
mess up.
Kelly's people are listening to Happy Horror Time.
I don't know.
Wait, so did you see any fireworks?
Does watching Rocky IV count?
I mean, it's patriotic.
Have you seen Rocky IV?
Of course
lately?
I have. The beginning is devastating. Like,
oh my God,
when
Apollo dies.
And if he dies, he dies.
I like, love Dolph Lundgren in it. I really did.
Did you find him sexy?
I did. And you know,
when he murdered Apollo.
I loved when he murdered. Well, you know what I noticed is that when Apollo hits the ground, he does like a last minute like squirm. It was very disturbing.
And the shot of like the wife. I know that movie really well. At least that scene, especially like in the wife, and they're like throw in the towel or
yes,
like do
yes.
it. And Rocky holds off, and then he has to deal
well,
with that
because
guilt.
He said, "Don't you dare throw in that towel."
I know. And then he died.
So and then I was like, "Happy 4th of July!"
That is a great way to spend your 4th of July. I was in New York City visiting my parents, and they live in Battery Park City. You know this because you've been there.
It's beautiful.
It's right at the bottom. Bottom of the island of Manhattan, near where you go to
bottom.
Oh wow. Near where you catch the ferry. Yes, I said ferry to go to the Statue of Liberty. So there's the Hudson River. Wait.
Kate Hudson.
Hudson River, yes.
Right.
And they do fireworks over the river. So it was really cool.
Was your nephew with you?
Not that day. I did see my nephew another day and we had fun, but they were gone for the actual 4th. But I spent the 4th with my parents in New York City.
Did your parents go, "The fireworks are too loud"?
No, actually, if we were watching on TV, I probably, because I would turn up the TV for it. But no, because they're so far away, you just barely hear them. You know how it is.
I mean, I'd probably, that's what I'd be saying.
The fireworks are too loud.
I'm sensitive to everything now.
It depends. Sometimes my dad can be sensitive to really loud noises, whereas me, like, I don't know, like, I like watching things with, like, surround sound.
You like live music, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I hate it.
I also like how loud movies are. Like, to me, I don't like it to be soft. Even when I'm at home, like, I put it up really loud. It's not engaging, I guess, if it's not really loud.
I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it was a nice little trip, but we're back and we're already in like the middle of the summer.
I cannot believe we're already 6 months into this dumb year.
So how do you feel about 2021?
It's a total dumb.
Total dumb.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like we're every single time we go out, like, where's my mask? And then do I need a mask? Bah, 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 bah,
well,
bah.
It's been different. I mean, New York, I will say it felt different in LA because you know how people are still kind of sort of wearing masks around here in New York, other than the subway. Everyone wears a mask on the subway. No one was wearing a mask anywhere else.
Really? That's kind of cool.
I mean, it is. Yeah. I mean, like, it was, I think people are just feeling comfortable, I guess, or something. But speaking of nothing having to do with the 4th of July, we wanted to do a shout out to, we got the sweetest fan mail from someone named Sean. And we just wanted to call him out because we love our fans. We encourage anyone to write us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. And Sean was just saying how he caught wind of the podcast and was like even going back to our old episodes and listening.
Oh, gosh. We were so not polished.
That takes some patience because anything before our relaunch, I think our audio was like...
I remember what I was the audio person, so we already know you're in trouble. So it was like, as soon as we finished, we're like, we're done. Have a great night.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So... So thank you so much for the email, Sean. He said he's a big Friday the 13th fan, like
that's
you, Tim.
Fine. Yes, you like the Halloween.
Yes, Tim is a Friday the 13th guy. I am a Halloween fan. But what I loved about his letter is that he said when he was a kid, his sister and her friends like conned him into seeing Friday the 13th. They said it was like a movie about superstitions versus like a mass killer. And he
like
said he was terrified.
Walking under a ladder.
Yes, exactly. So you know what? But I feel like that's something older siblings do to get younger people into scary movies.
I begged my older brother to take me.
Did you have to tell him it was about superstitions?
No. he was in the know.
Yeah, we love hearing from people. So please write us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. And also, if you enjoy the podcast, please like review.
5 stars.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, no. I know it sounds like, review, but it really is important because the more.
Let me tell you this. If I read a nice sentence about our podcast, it takes. I have a healthy glow
it
the
does.
Next 5 days.
I mean, it makes our day, but it also helps for like people look at podcast reviews and like how many people have rated you to see like how much value I guess you have. Yeah. So Sean, anyone else, please give us a 5-star review.
Oh, I found a fan letter.
Oh, you did? Please. Yeah. Oh, read it, Tim.
It
go.
It says, I love Tim more than Matt. That is so sweet.
Oh, really? And is it signed Tim?
Oh, well, his name is Tamina.
Oh, Tamina, I love Tim more than Matt. We're not competing,
We're
Tim.
We're not.
We are a unit. We are happy.
When you say unit, that is a many, that means a lot.
You are so acting like me right now, like finding the sexual innuendo in everything that we say, because that's me. That's me.
Because you know why? Because we're a unit.
speaking of units, just kidding. No, we are happy horror time, Tim.
Right.
And when you listen to our podcast, you can have a happy horror time.
That's right. You can.
We've got two very interesting movies to discuss this week. One is a big one that everyone has heard about, and we had a theatrical release. And one is one that I think barely anyone's heard about, and I'm hoping to, you know, get people.
But it's doing very well.
Oh, okay. I'm wrong. I had not heard about it, but I wanted to talk about it because wanted to get the word out about
it. Well, I saw that on the, what's it called with the tomatoometer?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Thank you.
What's it called? It's that obscure site, you know.
No one uses it.
No one uses it. Rotten
it's
Tomatoes.
It's 90%.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Well, we'll get to that one. I feel like we should do that one second. Okay. Let's start with the big one, which came out over the holidays. Which this franchise has been pumping out movies over July 4th for a while now.
I think I've seen them all.
I think, have there been 5?
I don't even know that.
Well, the one that came out right before July 4th was The Forever Purge.
Started July 2nd, and it cost $18 million to make.
For some reason, that doesn't sound like that much.
You don't think so? You have $18 million?
No, I don't mean in general. I mean in movie making. I guess in movie. Yes, $18 million would set me up for life, I think. But for a movie, it doesn't sound like too much. But so if you're familiar with The Purge, if you've never seen a Purge movie.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say you probably aren't a horror fan, but. The original Purge started with the idea that it's like, it's this like
12 hours.
Yeah, it's this alternate world where for 12 hours, all crime is legal, including murder. And it's a very interesting idea because it begs the question.
Would you participate?
And do people commit or do people refrain from committing crimes because they're afraid of getting caught or because they just morally feel like it's wrong?
I can tell you right now, I'd be like Ethan Hawke and his family in the original.
Yeah.
And just haul up in my house.
Of course. Because here's the thing. I don't, not like I deserve a medal for this, but I don't. Not murder people just because it's illegal. I don't murder people because that's wrong and
right.
I care about
and
human life.
You want to look at yourself in the morning and think other things besides, oh my God, look at these wrinkles.
That took a weird turn.
You want to look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm a good person.
Oh, I was going to say, you want to look in the mirror. Someone's been looking at themselves a lot.
No, not Tim. I don't have one.
Tim, wrinkle. I haven't seen one wrinkle on your arm.
Thank you so much.
it begs the question. That was what was so cool about the original, because it's like, if this ever happened, which would be nuts, it's like some people are like, it's like a free pass. Like I can do whatever I want and commit crime, but like, do these people have a conscience? Like,
right,
do they
right,
have morals?
I mean, like, yeah, you could do it during those 12 hours, but you're going to have to live with it for the rest of your life.
But again, it's like, that's why it's like, are people not committing crimes because they're illegal or because they just feel like it's
but
wrong?
But you know what? But if you're born into it, because these movies have been around forever, like if you're born, like that's what you know, like, It's just like the 4th of July. We go outside and we watch things blow up in the sky. I mean, it's just like...
I feel like... I see what you're saying, though. Like, if we were born into, like, where we were used to...
A 12-hour killing day. Yeah.
But I think if you were born into a family that partook in killing, maybe you would, you know... I guess do it. But like most of the families in these movies, like you said, they just shut down and want to be away from it. Only the crazies come out and want to, you know, commit murders. But this movie, this is a very, it's like a new approach to the Purge movies. It's called the Forever Purge because what happens in this one, it kind of centers around, it's, so there's a white family that owns a farm in Texas,
yes,
right?
Yes, Texas, starring, and it says, has Josh Lucas in it from Sweet Home Alabama with that Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yes, Josh Lucas. So, the dad of the, first off, the family are, they're the Tuckers. Right. The mother
that,
Tuckers.
That name is
I know, the Tuckers. The like, patriarch of the family who, like, runs the ranch is, Will Patton from Halloween 2018. He was Sheriff Hawkins.
I thought he looked familiar.
Oh, of course I knew it. I was right away. Anyone in Halloween's. He's like the father. Josh Lucas is his son. Son has a pregnant wife and there's a sister. So those are all the Tuckers. Are the Tuckers? Anyway, so they've employed various Mexican workers who work on their ranch. And already at the very beginning, you can tell that Josh Lucas's character has a problem with like one of the Mexican workers, Juan, like kind of shows him up with a horse. He's able to like calm
down
a horse.
Which I was wondering why that was in the film, but then I guess it comes into play later.
Well, obviously, Josh Lucas has more of a problem with him than just he's better at calming horses. Obviously, he has some racist tendencies to
right.
him.
Now, are the employees, refresh my memory, yes, I did watch the movie, do they have green cards? Because, was that even an issue in the movie?
I had thought they were legal, legally in the country. I don't think they ever made... I don't remember them ever talking about them being illegally in the country. Or maybe. Oh no, you're right. I'm actually looking. You're right. So they did illegally cross the border, and
they were employed by the Tuckers.
But they were employed by it. So
yeah.
I can't answer your question definitively.
It
doesn't matter. Now, either way, they're working. And they're making a living on this ranch with this white family. And the son, Josh Lucas, has kind of an issue with him. And it's obviously a racial issue.
Right.
And the dad is great. The dad, Will Patton, is telling him, like, get over it. He's being very nice. Like, he gives them a bonus. And they're all getting ready for the purge.
It's a purge bonus.
It's like a purge protection bonus.
Yeah, like, hey, stay alive.
Oh, no, I think he even called it. I think he did a 3P thing. It was purge protection package.
That's right. And then his wife, who works at a meat factory.
Juan's wife.
Right, and her name
is
like,
Adela. Adela.
Which, whenever they said it, I thought of the singer Adele.
Totally understand.
And then I thought to myself, why was Adele not cast in it?
Because she was someone like you.
Oh.
I know. It's because she said hello. I'm sorry. I'm just going to put all. Adela, by the way, Adela was one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Oh, I did. I really, really liked her. And I actually looked at her IMDb. She's been in a lot of stuff.
She's played by Ana de la Reguera. She was great. She is Juan's wife and she works in like a meat factory and she is a tough mother Tucker. No,
that's right.
Moving along to what happens is they all like settle in for the purge. And what makes this movie unique is that every other movie, the entire plot takes place during the purge.
So this, their purge is very quickly. It's maybe 5 minutes of the movie. They're like, we survived the purge.
Exactly. And most of the movie starts the majority when the purge is over. And so what happens is Juan and Adela are going to work and they're thinking, you know, a lot of people aren't around. What's going on? And there's a group of, they call themselves Ever After Purgers who decide, you know what, this year.
And wait, just to clear it up. When you say Ever After, it has nothing to do with Drew Barrymore and Cinderella.
You were like, okay, go ahead. Motherfucking DB here. Yes, you are correct. There's no Drew Barrymore. There's no fairy tale.
Right.
These Ever After Purgers have decided that, hey, forget having only 12 hours to commit crime. We're going to be able to commit crime forever.
Yo, me a coat.
AKA the Forever Purge. And these crazy people wearing masks try to kill Adela. She almost gets killed. She got caught.
But they were dressed as like bunnies?
There, you know, they put everyone, in these movies, everyone dresses in masks. Like, I think they just do it to, like, have a scary element because
it
just
worked.
People with their normal faces, it's like, okay.
But you know, it's interesting they chose to do that scene in broad daylight. But, I mean, I get it. It's
but
the
that's what I thought was unique.
Purge.
It was the morning after. That. That's why I give it to this movie that everything was unique. And like you said, that the Purge was a tiny part of it. After the Purge was the majority. But the big thing was Adela almost gets killed and a guy saves her. But the big thing happens is that one of the Tucker's farmhands, one of the white guys, not the Mexican people that Josh Lucas had a problem with, the white guys decides, brings his Ever After Purge group and takes the whole Tucker family like
and
captive.
Ties them up. And that was probably the big scene of the film.
Oh, I was on edge that whole time because they're all tied up and he has a gun and you're like, who is he going to shoot?
I can tell you, I really thought, since we spoil everything, I really thought the sister, the blonde sister, was going to be like the first to go.
I knew they wouldn't shoot the pregnant wife because this wasn't like, I've seen pregnant women die in films, but not like, she was like 9 months pregnant.
It's
really
universal.
Rough. Also didn't think Josh Lucas would die because I knew there had to be some story with him. I figured, you know, like he's the big name.
In Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, and also like the whole, I knew that him being racist would probably learn a lesson in this. Right. Like I knew he had like an arc to go through.
And you were absolutely right.
Exactly. But who did they kill? So the poor Will Patton from Halloween, he basically, what does he say in his speech to him?
He makes a point saying that what they're doing is what bad white people want him to do, or like there's a big political statement right off the bat.
He's kind of calling him
the dirty work.
He's kind of calling
or
him
something
spoiled.
Horrible.
He's saying all these things, and basically the guy just shoots him in the head, and they just show that bullet hole in his head like no other.
You saw it with your parents, right?
Oh yeah.
What was their reaction?
Well, I mean, it's not like it was sex. Like it's just violence. And my parents have been watching horror movies with me all the time.
It's so interesting to me. I know that we're going down a weird road with this, but sex, forget it. You don't want to watch that with your parents, but you're like someone's brain's being blown out. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. It's the awkwardness.
It's
violence is uncomfortable to watch, of course, but it's not awkward. Sex, watching with your parents, that's awkward because you're kind of sitting there.
Right.
They're
and you
like,
know what? And honestly, now when I think about it, sex is between two people, not on a big screen with your parents.
Wait, what? But violence is what?
Perfectly fine.
I'm missing the. Okay, well, yeah. You know what, Tim? I will chalk that down as a Timism.
You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're saying.
I'm saying like it's a huge screen. People are naked and having sex.
Oh, okay. So like watching sex on a big screen when they're huge in your face versus violent. Okay, I see that.
Yeah.
I just think anything sex related with your parents is just awkward because it's sex. And just like you don't want to hear about your parents having sex.
No, I remember we watched back in 1992 Basic Instinct and I was like, yeah.
You watch it with your parents?
Mm-hmm. I think it was like New Year's Eve.
But like that one, they weren't trying to hide anything. Like you knew that was a sex movie. What I'm saying is, why would you ever watch that with your parents?
Because Michael Douglas is Sharon Stone. It's a thriller.
Like meaning it's not like you went into it like, oh, this is a fun movie and oh, wow, there's a sex scene. Like that movie was advertised to be a sex movie.
I think I did some tricks. I was like, oh, we should watch this.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I brought it upon myself.
Wow. I do not think I would watch Basic Instinct with my parents. But anyway.
Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, God. That was rough. So Will Hawkins, I just combined his real first name and his last
Tucker.
Name from Halloween. The dad, he gets shot. They're all. But anyway, Juan and his friend, who's another farmer, break in with guns and shoot and kill all the guys that were taking them captive.
Which I actually thought the it was very, very quick for the guy that tied them all up to get killed so soon. But I guess they had bigger fish
to
fry.
Yeah, exactly. These were just some of these Ever After Purges. And, you know, so at that point, I was wondering, like, is Josh Lucas going to recognize that Juan just saved his family? But I knew there was still, like, an arc to overcome. Right. But anyway, they start hearing all over the news that these, like, Ever After Purges are just purgers are going around killing people all over the country. And the government's coming in and they're bringing in, like, I think they're, like, declaring martial law.
Yes, they've got to either get to Canada or Mexico in a certain, like, 8 hours or something.
Well,
because
what happens is when Canada and Mexico find out about this craziness going on, they decide we're going to open the borders, I think it's for, like, 12 hours or something, to any Americans that want to flee these ever after purchase.
So they happen to have, apparently, a bulletproof truck.
Well, yeah, I think they found it. But one thing I do have to mention, I don't want to get too political because we're not a political podcast, but I will say, how funny is it that, like, I just think it's funny. As I was watching, I was thinking, like, all these people that are, like, anti-immigrant or something, I bet you would be the first in line to leave this country if you needed help to leave and go into Mexico or Canada. You know what I mean? Oh. It's like, all these people are like, don't let people into our country. You'd be the first in line to flee if you needed to save yourself.
I can't believe how political you are.
No, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Did you, I mean, they're making a statement. It's like, and all these, you know, Americans are trying to get out of the country, and how funny they're trying to flee to Mexico or to Canada, who are opening their borders to America. I mean, look, there was a lot of political statements.
Well, I mean, I don't
know
how you talk about the movie called Forever Purge without getting, especially what they were giving us. I mean, like,
well, the violence in itself, like, did it not remind you of, like, the insurrection? Like, I mean,
that never happened.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No. Of course it did.
Oh my God. Wow. No. It did remind me of that because it's like people taking the law into their own hands, people deciding, like, who needs rules, who needs laws. It was a little scary, and that's why I think this movie's so timely, perfect timing
out. I was uncomfortable. I'm always uncomfortable seeing a movie in The Purge, and we all know why, because during the first Purge, I ran out of there when a crazy man walked in with a guitar case.
That is a long story that we will have to get to in another.
You know what I'm saying.
No, I get it. The Purge is an uncomfortable movie to watch because it deals
with... It's public.
It is just not so far-fetched. Yeah. I mean, yes, it is, but it's not so much. And in these last couple years, the craziness we've seen... The craziness, the violence we've seen, the political turmoil we've seen, it's not so far-fetched anymore.
That's what I'm
saying.
I bet the Ethan Hawke one back in 2013, we're like, oh, this is an interesting take.
We're like, that's crazy. It would never happen. Crazy. In 2021, we're like, ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, I guess fast-forwarding, the Tucker kids... because the dad is dead, and Juan and Adela and Juan's friend, they're all trying to flee, and they want to try to make their way to Mexico, and right as they're getting close, Mexico shuts down its borders because, like, the ever-after purgers have totally taken over Texas, and they just don't want to get anyone in.
That was a really cool shot. I'm sure it was computer, but it was, like, all the cars lining up to get into Mexico.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's really cool, just because, I've never been to that border, like...
You
don't know.
You want to hear something funny? On a family vacation when I was a kid, we went to El Paso and we crossed the border to visit Mexico. It's a town called Juarez, which is right below El Paso. And that was my first time in Mexico. I was like 10 years old. So as they were showing El Paso and they were like the border between El Paso and Mexico, my mom actually leaned in. She's like, we went there.
Did you go like this? Go, shh.
And I was like, shut up, Mom. You're ruining the movie.
You're like, I don't know what's happening.
I was like, oh my God, subtitles, anyone?
Wait, did you have to have a passport? As a 10-year-old?
God, I can't remember. You would think...
It was a different time.
I guess it was... If I was 10, it was like the very end of the 80s or maybe the early 90s. I don't remember. You would think you need a passport to go to any country, but maybe... I don't remember,
though. You know,
though.
Who cares?
I know. You're like, Jesus, Tim, who even cares? No. Anyway, so there's like a big struggle where first they think, oh my God, how are we going to get into Mexico? They find a Native American guy who knows how to get people into...
Yes,
through
in this like, big truck. But before that, the one scene where I actually jumped, the two women get locked into a theater. They get separate. Everyone gets separated for like
a hot
minute. Oh, yes,
it's Adela and the pregnant wife because they get separated
in
all the chaos.
The theater, and like all of a sudden, like I think like a little bat falls down. It was like the one jump scare.
Yes.
I was like, oh!
Yes, and there was the other really intense part where some of the alpha guy gets Josh Lucas, his sister, Juan and Juan's friend, who I can't remember his name.
He had a girl with him, and he kept calling her
Titi.
Mother.
Oh, that was the creepiest. Alpha, the guy who's leading it, is with his wife. He keeps calling her mother, and I'm sorry, but hello, Mike Pence.
Like, I didn't catch that, but I guess it's a homage.
Well, they basically say in the most racist way possible, we'll let you go, guys go if the two white people here kill the two Mexicans.
Which I was like...
I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I did too. I was looking around the theater, and I was like, is anyone seeing
Well, but thank God, obviously, that's when I realized, okay, Josh Lucas actually isn't as horrible as a person, because he obviously refuses, and then they kill TT, the other guy, in front of them, and I'm just like, great. So,
oh, by the way, when they were in this town, that was the back lot at Universal.
Shut up, really?
Didn't you tell? I was like, this is
I mean,
Texas.
I don't know Universal like you know Universal.
Well, I mean, only because, but, you know, I don't want to talk about my acting career.
Oh, you're right. There's nothing to talk
exactly.
about. Exactly. That was good, Tim. That was good. You're right. We don't have to talk about it. There's nothing to talk about. No. Tim did work on the Universal lot because you did security.
I did at Warner Brothers. Thank you very much.
I've already made fun of you for doing security because
12 years.
I'm just thinking about like if there was a real threat, like
I would run away.
You'd run the other way. I know. I love it. But I wish I had known you when you did security. No, I did.
You did.
Because I ran into
you. I checked you in at
the Green Lantern premiere. Wow. We are going on so many tangents. Anyway.
Who cares? It's the purge. It's forever.
But it's forever. So anyway, there's this big last fight between like the alpha guy and Juan and Adela. And one thing I forgot to mention.
In the desert.
The reason why I love Adela so much is not only like she handles a gun like no other, but she is like a fighter. She said that she used to fight like for the like I think with the drug cartel
right.
or
well,
against
the
drug
one
cartel
was like how can you fight like that.
The pregnant one is like, I'm going to give birth. Can
yeah,
anyone
she goes,
help me?
I'm having a baby.
Yeah, I know. They have to like walk the rest of the way to get to the Mexican border and they're being followed by like the last ever after purgers that were on their tail, including the alpha guy who likes to say mother. And there's this big scuffle.
Right.
But what I love is that the alpha guy's holding Adela with a knife. And this was in the trailer, so it's not even a crazy thing. But
which
he keeps saying,
I'm actually surprised they put it in the trailer.
He keeps saying like she's speaking to Juan, like signaling him in Spanish, and he's like, English, and then like the Juan gets him with a
I think it was a pickaxe
or something, and he's like,
was.
Does this translate, and then kills him. It was a great
did your
like,
theater
moment.
Start clapping?
I think we did.
We
did yours?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't. I never clap in a movie, which I always find a weird thing.
I do. I remember I clapped at the end of Halloween 2000, or when Judy Greer said "Gotcha." That
did
big
Judy
line.
Greer hear you?
No, but I
exactly. That's why we don't clap.
I tweeted her later though about it, and she responded.
That's not the same.
I mean, like 6 months later. But anyway, it was a good, like, it was a great moment, and they make their way into Mexico. And what's cool is that like Josh Lucas's wife has her baby, and you can tell he's bonded with Juan, and like, you know, I think he's realizing you can accept people that are different than you. It's okay, you know, or they can be treated the same way, and like. Right. And then, so obviously it's a very upbeat ending, but all in all, like as political as it was, I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd ever see it again, but I definitely had a good night at the movies. I thought it was so fun. I mean, it's a good movie.
I actually think I enjoyed it more than most of the other sequels.
Oh, really?
I think it's because the first one was great. I loved the first one because it was a novel idea at that point. Every other one, it kind of just repeated it and did it differently.
Well, I know that Marissa Tomei was in one, an Oscar winner, but I couldn't even tell you
which one. The woman from Lost was like the president in one, remember? Yeah. And they almost sacrificed her.
Well,
again,
Frank Grillo's in it.
They're all kind of forgettable, but this one I feel like I'm going to remember why.
Because it's called The Forever Purge.
No, because this one was about what happens after the purge with people want to abide by the rules. And so it was unique. What I will say
is... I just hope America was not taking notes.
But it ended on, I think, a good note. So meaning it's like people are going to rise up against this type of violence. They're not going to accept that. And I actually think in the end, I think I remember hearing they were playing like broadcast that they said anti ever after purgers are coming to the street to battle them. So it had a good message in that, like, you know, like peace is going to prevail. Who knows if it really will in life, but it did. I just really liked it because I thought it was unique. What I will say is I don't know where the series can go from here.
I agree. When you call a movie Forever Purge, what are you going to be like, more Forever Purge?
Well, but also it's like, okay, we've seen what happens during the purge multiple times. Now we've seen what happens if people want to continue to purge. Yeah, what else is there?
Nothing.
They even did the first purge. Remember, there was a movie about the very first time they did it.
It was a prequel.
Yeah, so like I don't think unless... I don't even know. I don't know.
Ethan Hawke's still alive. Maybe he'll come back and do one.
I thought he died in the first one.
I couldn't tell
I think
you.
He died at the end of it, but it was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I actually recommend, and I will say this, I went into it thinking I wasn't going to like it. I remember thinking like, oh, we should review this movie because it's big. It's a Purge movie, but I'm probably not going to like it. And I liked it. And the best part was my mom and my dad, who hates horror movies, actually liked it.
Wow. I guess I should tell my parents to see it.
Well, I mean, you have to be okay with very brutal violence, but...
My mom's favorite movie is Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, here's so that what I'm saying is, I think if you can deal with the violence and there's people that maybe didn't like some of the other Purges, I truly think this one is a better one. Some people may think it's too political.
I think it's a standalone film.
It was a standalone film. And I think, again, some people may mind that it may be too heavy-handed with the political messages. But, like, I appreciated it because all the racist people got their asses kicked.
Right. And that's the real message.
That's the real message. Anyway, so on to a less political movie that was a big surprise for us. It was something I just found and I told Tim about, and we had to talk about it because it stars one of our favorites.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. You may remember her from such movies as Transformers, Jennifer's Body.
That's all I can name.
What else? Transformers 2.
She's married to Brian Austin Green from 90210.
She was married. She has kids and stuff. And I was like, you know.
Are they still married?
I think he cheated on her and they got divorced.
Who would cheat on Megan Fox?
That's what I was
Even
thinking.
Even I wouldn't.
That's the thing. First off, I love Megan Fox just. I don't even know why. I just think
because
I don't know.
Liked her in the Lindsay Lohan film, Teenage Drama. What was that? Tales of a Teenage Drama Queen.
I have no idea what that film.
Oh, I saw it and I watched it and I loved it.
I think Megan Fox, like, she's so hot. And you want to hate her because it's like the, like, what? Why are you looking at me?
I looked at you just because you're like, she's so hot.
Well, she is. She is so hot. And I'm sure people, it's like you want to hate the hot girl in school. But you also are like jealous of her.
Her skin is absolutely flawless.
She's 35. She looks amazing. And also, I think I was really intrigued because I was like, where has Megan Fox been? You know,
yeah,
like, I feel
bring
like
her to these big movies.
I also remembered her in Jennifer's Body, and she played, you know, the hot girl.
I saw Jennifer's Body once. I know everyone loved the Coyote Diablo wrote it.
Oh, whoa. You mean Diablo Cody?
You know what? I like
Wow.
My way
Did
better.
You just say Coyote Blue?
Coyote Blue.
She's great. Great director. I didn't love Jennifer's Body. It just like, I felt like Megan Fox may have been playing Megan Fox in that.
That's the thing. Everyone was like, Jennifer's Body. I was thinking, when's this over?
You're like, can I get a male body in there? No.
Right. I was like, if it's called Johnny's Body.
It's called Joe's Body. So now I get lost by transit. Anyway, there's a movie called Till Death, and it stars Megan Fox, and they are really pushing Megan Fox in this. And so we're like, we got to check this out. The trailer looked great. And just to set it up, it starts with Megan Fox looking hot.
She does.
She's cheating on her husband with someone, but she ends it because she's like, today's my anniversary. We can't do this anymore. And then you see from the beginning, the relationship with her and her husband, it is so cold.
It's not like sleeping with the enemy cold. Like, he doesn't
Oh,
beat
I
her.
Thought it was sleeping with
no,
the enemy.
It is
oh, he doesn't beat her, but he like you could her. Tell there's no love lost
no,
between
no,
them.
No, like, it was a decade, right? She said they've been married for 10 years.
I think so. She's there for the, and they are treating each other like they hate each other, but he's like prepared this dinner. He's taking her to their secluded lake house. He has rose petals all over. He says he wants to start anew. Like, everything, but her expression, I've got to hand it to her, she played I don't give a shit really well because
yeah.
She looked
she's
like
so hot.
She's just so hot. No, I mean, she's too hot to give a shit.
Right. She's like, listen, I am
like,
Megan Effin Fox.
I was just going to say, like, hey, do you know who I am? I'm Megan Fox.
I am so smoking.
And she's like, I'm smoking hot. But it was just so weird. I felt uncomfortable every scene with her husband. That's why I knew something was wrong because.
Right. And so then she goes into this office, his office. And there's like a file, which this is, I was going to ask you about this because we try not to talk about it before. But so then she pulls out a picture of herself and when her face
yes,
is all cut
up. Yes, there's a small side plot that years ago she was attacked and stabbed by like someone. and her husband helped put him away in jail, and she sees the file out, and she's wondering, like, is he up for parole? What's going on? And we'll get to that later. So that's what she, the picture is her. She was attacked. She was stabbed by this guy. So it's like awful memories. So that's like a subplot. But
actually, I think it's the only plot.
No. I mean, it leads into it. But I think the main part of the plot is that she ends up having sex with her husband on the anniversary, but she looks so not into it. The next morning, she wakes up and she realizes she's handcuffed to her husband, and she's like, "What the fuck?"
Did you think of that Carla Gugino, Stephen King?
Yes, Gerald's Game.
Yes, okay.
The Stephen King novel.
I feel like I've seen this.
Oh, it 100% gave me.
But I will say this: I love Stephen King. This was better.
Well, maybe the film adaptation, but I've heard, I haven't read the book, but I've heard the book,
oh,
Gerald's
I'm
Game was
definitely
phenomenal.
Not reading that book.
Tim, you're like, give me a picture book.
Listen, I will watch the movie any day, but I ain't touching neither of those
books.
Well,
so I can't even compare because I heard the book was great. But anyway, yes, but she's handcuffed to her husband, and he turns to her and he says, I think he says, it's time to wake up. And
that's
he pulls
right.
a gun on himself and shoots and kills himself
okay.
in front of her.
We need to discuss this not in so much length. Well, maybe. Okay, when the blood hits her face, it hits so perfectly.
And did you notice it didn't hit around her eye?
It did not hit around her eye. I was like, whoever your makeup artist is did a great job.
No, but at the same time, it was so noticeable that, here's the thing, if blood just supposed to splatter on your face, you can't avoid the eye. Because guess what? When blood splatters, it doesn't avoid your
eye. I don't know how they did that, but it was amazing.
She probably shut her eye when they painted the blood on, but when she opened it, it looked like she'd been wearing sunglasses.
I want to know. Yes, it was amazing. There was like no blood hit that eyeball.
But like unrealistically amazing.
Yeah, unrealistically
yeah.
for
well,
sure.
Well, it's a shocking part if you don't know it's going to happen because it happens out of nowhere and you're like, what the fuck? And she's handcuffed. And so she kind of freaks out and
you know
she realizes.
The movie was smart and like not giving it like typical handcuffs. It's like a chain handcuff.
Yeah. And obviously there's no key or something. And she realizes, oh my God, I'm handcuffed to my dead husband's corpse. She doesn't know what's going on. But then what proceeds is a lot of very suspenseful parts that I feel like Megan Fox had to kind of hold a lot of this movie up herself.
Oh, the entire thing?
Yeah. She has to pull the body with her everywhere she goes. And, you know, remember, she is a smaller person, and he is a, like, 6-foot-something man.
He planned out everything. So the first thing she wants to do is get some clothes on.
Well, that's the thing. The funny thing is, at this point, you don't know as a viewer. You just think he killed himself. But what you don't know is that he planned every little part of this to make sure that she cannot escape. Like...
So she's buck naked. So she goes to the closet. The only thing in there is the wedding dress. So I love that she, instead of putting on the wedding dress, she takes his bloody, disgusting clothes.
And she uses the wedding dress to drag him on.
And then she puts him on the wedding dress to drag
him.
Well,
at this point, who gives a shit about that wedding dress? She is like a painstakingly long process, but entertaining, going downstairs, taking the body with her, falling down the stairs.
And then she gets into the kitchen and she's like, okay, well, I'll just take off these handcuffs. She opens every drawer, nothing.
She's able to find car keys and she's able to go through the snow.
Wait. First off, she finds her cell phone in...
Oh, yes, I forgot. She finds her cell phone planted in a vase of water so that it doesn't work. Meaning, this guy didn't just randomly kill himself.
He's
he
like,
planned
hey, I'm
going
to show you your cell phone, which will not work.
Yes, but when she gets to the car, she has the key. She's like, finally, I'm going to get out of here to a hospital. He has siphoned out all of the gas from the car so it won't start.
Which I was pissed.
I was just like, what an asshole.
But
that's the thing. Every time she gets somewhere and you think she's going to get... I thought that was very well done. Like,
you know,
she's going to get out and she doesn't.
They actually showed her get in the car, crawl over her husband to get into the driver's seat. I was like, wow, they're not... I thought that was very
yes.
detailed.
And also, but even more painstakingly detailed... In the like cassette or CD player, he's recorded himself with a message to her. Remember that?
Oh, congratulations, you've gotten this far.
Yeah, I never thought you'd get this far. And don't think that me killing myself is saying it's okay. Basically, you find out the husband knew that she was having an affair. He was having his own career problems, and he was probably going to be indicted for some type of fraud. So he realized, why not kill himself and make his wife suffer for cheating on him? And basically, but it gets even worse. So she realizes she can't escape. She goes back in. What I love there, and then in the photo, the dark room, all the pictures of her and her husband, he's like scratched out her eyes and all.
Oh, yeah. And then randomly, he had the picture of when she was attacked.
Yes, he has
that
front and center.
Oh, that's
so you're like, what is going to happen? You know that the attacker's going to have to plan. So randomly she gets a knock on a door and it's the guy she was having an affair with. And you're like, oh my God, she's going to be saved.
Okay. Did you know immediately, like, he's going to die?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Because she realizes that he says he got texts from her. She realizes the husband sent the text. And you know, the husband has planned every detail of this. He wanted that guy.
Okay, so then there's even more setup. The guy that attacked her 10 years ago is now pulling up to the house.
Well, yes. What happened was what Megan Fox was not told is that the guy is out of jail and the husband had given him the address and basically told him to come to the house and kill Megan Fox.
So the
the guy she was cheating on with, like, tries to get him away and gets stabbed by him. Did he get stabbed?
Yeah, like, well, it was through the door, like, you saw. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's, like, hiding on the side with her dead husband.
And I think by this time, hadn't she gotten the handcuffs off? I think she had gotten a tool in the shed. She had.
No, because then she gets to the shed. She gets it off in the shed. And
yes. There's a lot of, like, craziness. The guy who attacked her, the ex-con, brought his brother. And it's funny. There's always, like, you know how when there's
one has a conscience, one doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know when there's, like, sometimes when there's bad guys, there's always, like, one that slightly has a conscience. Right. Well, his brother has a conscience, doesn't want to hurt Megan Fox, just wants to steal money. But the ex-con wants to kill her. Megan Fox gets away. She's able to get her handcuffs off, right?
What I think is an anchor from the boat.
Yes.
And she, like, I think, did she chop off their husband's hand? Or it was just gross.
It was something. This movie is very fast paced. And if you're wondering why we're describing it like this, because it does, like, everything takes place, I'd say, within a couple hours, right?
She's, like, wearing barely any clothes. And, like, she wraps up the wedding dress, tears off the wedding dress to put on her feet because it's like ice. It's like freezing.
It's snowing. Snow. It's freezing. Like, everything's wrong. Well, we get to, there's a lot of, like,
it's almost
scuffles.
Like, cat and mouse.
Yes, it's very cat and mouse. But when we get to, like, the big conclusion, she is able to, basically, they get to a point and she is able to basically, like, bargain with the killers that he needs the passcode to get into a safe to steal from him. And the brother's like, just get the money and let's go. Let's leave her alone. And she says, I'll only give you the passcode if you if you let me go or something. She gives the passcode, opens the safe. The husband has even thought of this. In the safe is a note that says all the jewelry that was in the safe is actually around Megan Fox's neck on a necklace.
So then the guy has the brilliant idea of, like, hey, I'm going to chop up your head.
Well, because the necklace won't come off. Because
the other guy, the dopey one with a conscience who's kind of, like, fumbling, he tries to attempt to get off her neck and it won't come off.
Yes. And so
they find a gun underneath the bed.
Yes. Well, they realize that the only way to get the necklace off Megan Fox to get the jewels is if literally they cut her head off. So, of course, the ex-con wants to do it. The brother is like, no, we're not going to do that. Ex-con and his brother fight, and big surprise, brother gets killed.
Right. Like, by accident, though.
It's by accident. But, you know, anytime when someone's trying to stand up, like, a bad guy has a conscience, he always gets killed, you know?
So then there's a major scuffle and she gets stabbed in the leg.
Yes, exactly. And they somehow they get out of the house, right? He's chasing her.
Well, you know, she handcuffs him to the dead body.
Yeah, she's able to handcuff him to the dead body and she's trying to get out and she gets outside on this ice patch. You know, as soon as anybody goes out onto
see the poster,
you know ice is going to break. But anyway, it's this great scene where Megan Fox has been stabbed in the leg, so she's crawling, and he is handcuffed to the husband, so he's, like, crawling, and they're just, like, he's, like, crawling after her. She's crawling to get away. It's done really well because it's very suspenseful.
I think the best part, well, there's so many good parts of this movie. I really, really liked it. Is when, okay, so he crashes through,
falls into the water.
To her. So all, like, the dead weight of the husband is dragging those two down.
Yeah.
He has a knife stuck in his what's this called?
Shoulder?
Yes, thank you.
So
then she takes the knife out of his shoulder and shoves it in his eyeball.
And finally he lets go because they're all underwater in freezing cold water. And like Tim said, the body is dragging the ex-con down, but he's holding Megan Fox and literally they're all going to drown. But yes, there's this big climactic thing where she takes the knife off from her shoulder, stabs him in the eye, gets
and then
free.
Takes that knife and starts trying to breaking cut her through way
the
out.
You know, at the very end, I was like, are we going to get to the point where she gets away just to drown under the ice? Because,
like,
she couldn't find the opening for the ice. And apparently, I was watching this with my mom. My mom's like, apparently, I didn't know this, but a lot of people that do fall through ice and water drown because they can't get back to the hole to get up to the surface.
And that's what I was thinking. I was like, how far away is that hole?
Well, it was a small hole.
That's what she said.
Yes. So she uses the knife to like fucking pick at the ice. I mean, this girl has nonstop strength and stamina. Gets through the ice. And the best part is the very last scene of the movie.
Pulls her way out,
is laying on the ground. She takes off her wedding ring and throws it into the water. Right. Like a blast fuck you to the husband, you know? And that's actually the poster.
Let's talk about the husband.
Let's talk about it. That's like the poster of the movie. You see her laying down.
They kind of get away with the poster, but I mean... Not really,
I mean, I saw the poster and I had no idea. I just knew there was going to be something on ice. Disney on ice.
Right. I felt Disney on ice.
Overall, I was very impressed.
I liked Till Death 1,000 times more than Forever Purge.
I wouldn't say I liked it 1,000 times better. I liked both of them. I probably would say I liked Till Death better. Till Death is just like, it's
so
just
good.
A fun, suspenseful home invasion / cat and mouse / every minute, like the dynamics changing.
I think it's up there with Kingdom of the Spiders.
Oh, definitely.
Legendary. I mean, a movie I can watch over and over.
Definitely watch Till Death again. I have to applaud Megan Fox because I thought she did really well.
Me too.
I mean,
if I didn't like Megan Fox before, I love her now.
And we will always love you, Megan Fox. I was just really impressed because she kind of carries the movie. And again, I would say, you know, the beginning, the first part when she's just like discouraged, there's not a lot going on there. But when she has to do all of these physical movements, like dragging the husband and fighting people.
She must have been exhausted.
I can't even imagine how tough that was to film, like everything. I mean, I'm sure, who knows what secrets they did with pulling the body.
If they were really in ice cold water, if they were really on ice.
I mean,
really
I feel like
snow.
Anything underwater was probably in like a separate warm tub, but still in the snow, like everything. And also falling down stairs and fighting people and doing
stunt woman.
Yes, I'm sure there was a stunt woman. There's got to be. But at the same time, I'm sure it was tough to film. And I really enjoyed it. And like I said, I told Tim, let's talk about
it. I know it's playing at some theaters.
See, I didn't think it was. I actually thought it was like very unknown. But either way, if you haven't heard of it, hopefully we have, after spoiling it all, hopefully we have made
it. Yes, we spoiled it, but you could still see what we just spoke about.
And also, you know, when we do these recaps, like, we don't remember everything.
God, no.
And we also describe it
probably. I don't even know who I'm talking
to.
Yeah,
what movie was this?
Who are you?
It wasn't even with Megan Fox.
Claire Danes.
It was Claire Danes. She was great. No, but like, it's something that... It was on demand for only $6.99, so it wasn't one of those $19.99.
You must be rolling in.
Well, it wasn't $19.99 like some of the other pieces of shit we've watched.
Right, you're right.
$6.99 is definitely worth it to watch this. I hope that we are going to turn some people on to this movie because it deserves to be watched. It was really, like, it was a really entertaining thriller.
I agree 110% till death.
And I know that you didn't love Forever Purge, but
I know, it's totally fine.
I actually would recommend it because I was pleasantly surprised. I guess, but like you said, I wasn't as excited about it.
But you know what I did see, and I didn't tell anyone until right now? I saw Fast and the Furious 9. I say skip the Purge, go see that.
You can talk about that on another podcast.
Listen, that's right. Fast and the Furious.
This is not Fast and Furious time.
I'll be on another podcast that I don't want to talk about it.
Oh,
it's called Fast 9-9.
It's called Fast Times at Tim High.
Yeah.
At Tim's High. Well, with that, we, you know, I know, I love how I always find like a great place to end it, but, we hope you've enjoyed hearing about these movies and go out and see them. If you're not seeing movies out at theaters yet, again,
what's your problem?
No, there's a lot of great movies still on demand, like Till Death you can get on demand. And I know I say this every last episode, but like there's so many good horror movies coming out in the next like few weeks over the summer.
Oh, we were going to talk about False Positive.
Yes, the Hulu one.
Yeah. So real quick, we'll give it this away. Justin Theroux gives Pierce Brosnan a BJ. All right, good night, everybody.
Wow. Yes, the 3 seconds non-explicit that they do show that if you're into that. But yes. Very, very not too much. Just download porn. No.
Ew.
Anyway, yes, so thanks for listening, everyone. Okay, bye.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and through our website, happyhorrortime.com.
If you haven't already, please like and follow Happy Horror Time page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
We love hearing from our listeners, so if you want to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. You can tell us what you like about the podcast, give us movie recommendations, interview suggestions, or dating advice for Tim.
Oh, man. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime to sign up. Patrons get access to our growing library of bonus episodes, where we look back at old horror films, popular franchises, and other fun stuff.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you've had a happy horror time.